Amen. Amen. Matthew 6. Now, I didn't plan this like this now. I didn't set her up, but it is what it is.
Amen.
Somebody said confirmation. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Let's look at verse 5 through 8 today. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And we're going to talk about when you pray. When you pray, Jesus talking to the congregation that had gathered at the Sermon on the Mount. And he says in verse number 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Precious Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for the prayer that was prayed this morning. Thank you for the people who heard it. Thank you for the seriousness of your work. Thank you for the relationship that we must have if we're going to pray. Then, Father God, thank you for this church as they have heard from you this morning so far. And Father, be with us now as we preach your word. Let it not fall on deaf ears. Let someone today have a great understanding of what it means to pray and how we ought to. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What is prayer? What is prayer? Can we get a dictionary definition of what is prayer? Prayer is the offering of the emotions and the desires of the soul to God. It is the communion of the heart with God through the aid of the Holy Spirit. And it is to the Christian the very life of the soul. It is to the Christian the very life of the soul. So I believe what he's saying is you can't consider yourself being a Christian without having prayer life. Without prayer being important to you.
Amen.
You need to be filled with the Spirit. Why does the Word of God say that? Because it's hard. Well, the Word of God says it's impossible for God to hear you if your heart ain't right.
Amen.
Listen,
Amen.
Men ought to pray, and we know that. Psalm 66 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." How about that? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What's he saying? That word regard should jump at you. If I delight in wickedness, if I have something wicked going on in my world, and instead of me taking this thing to God, I just hold on to it, you can't expect God to hear you. That's just the word of God. "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Let me explain that. He that turneth his way, his ear away from hearing the law. Hearing don't mean just audible. Hearing mean, I heard you, Pastor. I understand you. I know what you're asking me to do. I know what you're asking me to stop doing. I know what you're asking me to give up. But I'm not going to obey you. Hearing without obedience is just, like I tell you the story about the three men went deer hunting. It's just going in one ear and out the other. I went to church and we had church. Listen. Men ought to pray. Watch this in Jeremiah. I thought this was interesting. Because we got some stuff going on in our world. See, when you have stuff going on in your world and folks is getting murdered and folks are being raped and folks is robbing and stealing and lying and cheating, we don't know who to vote for. We go, oh, everybody lying. Everybody at each other's throat. Our country's in a mess. Amen. It's in a mess. It's in a mess. Listen, Jeremiah said, for the pastors, Jeremiah 10:21, for the pastors are become brutish. Brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Now, I know some of us in here, but I know some pastors that's prospering. That's not biblical prosperity. I'm not talking about a materialistic, financial, live your best life now type of prosperity. I'm talking about when your church is prospering. See, I like to believe when I listen to you guys, when I talk to you guys, when I talk to the young people, that you guys are learning and growing spiritually. Amen. That's prosperous church. Amen. See, a prosperous church is when the young folks start stepping up and saying, we want to get involved in the ministry. We want to get involved in the worship service. We'll pray. We'll do this. Then now your church is prospering. Your church is growing. Oh, yeah. Look at James. James knew what was going on in the world. He said, ye lust, James 4:2, and have not, ye kill, you desire to have, and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not. Why? Because ye ask not. You refuse to pray. You refuse to get on your knees and say, God, make this a reality in my life. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better mother. I want to be a better child. Amen. Listen, we must pray. We must be people of prayer. We must be on our knees before God. And listen, if you ain't praying at home, you ought not be praying in church. That's really what the text is saying. Don't be like the hypocrites. The hypocrites didn't pray unless they had a crowd of people. They didn't pray unless they had a crowd of people. And they prayed standing in the synagogues and in the corner. When they went home, they did their own thing. Probably watched so much ESPN. Then they start praying for their praying that the Browns get the quarterback they need. They wouldn't know what to pray. Listen, Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Listen, we all want to be right with God. When we got mess in our lives, we got issues and we dealing with stuff. Listen, the word of God says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. People, hear me. Listen. How's your prayer life? Are you a prayer warrior? They call James, what they call him, old camel knees. That was his nickname, camel knees. Because they say he had calluses on the knee. He prayed so much. But you know, I hear people say, well, I didn't pray. It's more to it than that. See, it's more to it than just throwing up a prayer. Prayer is an action word. See, prayer is more to prayer than just throwing out words. Yeah, somebody get up and pray, and they say the little thing. Now, I understand the kids, but you know, when you call an adult, when you call somebody who has been blessed by God, who know God has been real in their life, you expect that prayer to come from the heart and the soul. Thank you, Lord. If you done been through some stuff, okay? When you done came out of the hospital and you done had shoulder replacement surgery and knee replacement surgery, open heart surgery, your blood pressure is out of control and now it's good, you done pray, God, thank you for my blood pressure being under control right now. And you've been through some stuff. Your marriage been on the rocks and it's better. Used to drink, but now you don't. Thank you for giving me just a year of sobriety. Thank you for just taking away the taste of alcohol from me and the desire that you want to use drugs. Thank you, Lord. Amen. See, some of us can't pray because we self-made. We think we stopped. We done everything that's happened to us. I earned it myself. I'm the self-made man or the self-made woman. Listen. Nehemiah knew that prayer took action. He said this, when they was building the wall and folks was coming against them, they wanted to see the wall fall, they was going to tear it down. Then Nehemiah said, listen, we're going to pray, folks. Okay? Well, we also going to be prepared for battle. Oh, come on, you don't hear me. You know, we want to pray. I've been praying. That's all you've been doing. There was an army general. They was crossing a river. They was crossing the river and they had all their gunpowder on them. And they was crossing the river by faith. And he said to his soldiers, he said, trust in God and keep your powder dry. Y'all know what that mean? Trust in God, but don't let your ammunition get wet because you God may call you to use it. We got this mentality now, Christian. Oh, Lord, I prayed, and you know I'm just waiting on the Lord. You might be fighting while you're waiting. You might have to battle them demons while you're waiting. God may give you the power to battle that thing. He may be giving, empowering you, equipping you to overcome something that's really causing you a lot of problems. Maybe lust. Maybe anger. Maybe drugs or alcohol. Maybe I'm just a knucklehead. I need to stop being like this. I need to get serious about life. Listen, Peter talking to the persecuted Christians. Now, when Peter was talking in 1 and 2 Peter, he was talking to Christians that was under attack. Okay? This is why it's important that we get our young folks together. Because it might not happen in my lifetime. But in the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years, these young people, listen, let me tell you something. Uh-huh. Y'all going to have hell to pay.
Amen.
Okay? The way this world, as the word of the world turning now, y'all better be ready. We have a responsibility to make sure that we get Ariana and Jill and little Justin and Justin over there, get them ready.
Amen.
Because they're not going to face what we're facing.
That's right.
It's getting ready to get turned up, like the young people say, turned up. America getting ready to get turned up. And y'all just ain't going to march in church and preach like I'm preaching.
Amen.
Dragging y'all out.
Amen.
It ought to be a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing. Peter talked to these persecuted believers. Persecuted, they was going through, getting their heads cut off. Nero was using them as candles and lights at his parties. Watch what he tells them. He says in 1 Peter 5, in verse 6, he said, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's right. Don't worry about life. Just understand God. You're going to heaven because you're a child of God. Okay? He said, don't sit here and worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. You can't serve God and worry too. Okay? You can't serve God and worry and be stressed all out. You can't serve God like that. He said, listen, cast it all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you.
Amen.
Now, for some people, they're like, you know, I ain't got nothing to worry about. Oh, yes, you do. Peter didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. Look what he said. He said, be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Peter said, you pray, cast all your cares on the Lord, but that don't give you the right not to be sober and watchful and firm in the faith. The best of us going to go through. And you need to go through with the Lord. Listen, you got a goal. Nehemiah had a goal. Peter and them had a goal. Peter was telling people, you got a goal. Your goal is to get to heaven. But it's going to take prayer to get there. It's going to take faith in God to get there. You're not going to get faith in God without investing in God. It's like 401k. I think we got a better retirement plan, but if you don't put nothing in it, you ain't getting nothing out of it. If you don't put nothing in your relationship with the Lord, you're not going to get anything out of it. Now, listen, the Lord himself had to pray. He had to pray because he had a goal. Our goal is to get to heaven. Our goal is to live godly lives on this earth and live in such a way that when our time is up, and it's going to be up, we can enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Amen. Jesus had a goal. His goal was to die at Calvary. Amen. For the sins of the world. And you know what? Mark 10. Jesus let his disciples know what was going to happen. And they was amazed. They was amazed at how he could be so energized for dying for the world. Why was he energized? Because he knew his goal. He knew his object. He knew his intention. And he knew he couldn't do it without the power of God working in his life. And even in Matthew 26, before he, on his way, he said this, Matthew 26, 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. How about that? And prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass by. But nevertheless, if it's thy will." Now he's on his way to Jerusalem. I like this. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. Y'all got to understand, I love the Bible.
Amen.
Verse 32. And they were in the way going to Jerusalem. They go on their way to Jerusalem. Passover season. And Jesus went before them. And they were amazed. Why were they amazed? You would have thought if Christ was going to die, he would have been in the back. It would have been us. If it had been one of us, he'd have been in the back. I gotta go die. We scared to death of dying. Jesus was in the front. They were amazed as they followed. Huh? That's the kind of man you're following. That's the kind of man you're serving if you serve a risen Savior. Let's talk about prayer even some more. I thought some good stuff came up. What does prayer do? Prayer does some things. Y'all all felt them tears come down your face today?
Amen.
Tears cleanse. Amen. Tears cleanse. Do you think for one moment that David prayed this prayer without tears? Think about this now. Tears cleanses not only your eyes and the different things going on in your body, but it cleanses the heart and the life. Now, y'all say what y'all want to say. I'm up here. I can say it. Caitlin had a religious experience this week. She found out something about the Lord she didn't know 2 weeks ago. And she set the standard for the next youth that's going to come up here and pray. She might have to do it all herself. You need your heart cleansed. You need your prayer life. You know, what they go, prayer life 2.0, 3.0, all that kind of stuff. Listen to David. Listen to David. He said, behold, Psalm 51, y'all know this. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Now listen to this prayer. He says, Lord, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from what? Thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Listen, somebody need to pray that. So you want to, I don't know what to pray. If they call me up there, I don't know what I'm going to pray. Read Psalm 51. Amen. Start there. Start with the Word of God. Pray back God's Word. Oh, listen. You somebody say, well, I don't have the courage to pray. Pray for courage. Amen. Pray for courage. God, give me the courage to be the man or woman of God that you want me to be. Amen. See, it takes courage to be a child of God. Somebody said, well, you know, listen, you know, you want to be tough. You want to be tough. Anybody can be tough. I'm tough. I'm a thug. I'm all tatted up. I got earrings. I'm a thug. I'm sagging. No, you ain't tough.
Amen.
You want to be tough?
Uh-huh.
Stand for truth.
Amen.
Stand for righteousness. Stand for holiness in a dark and evil world. You want to be tough. Anybody can be tough and you can blend on in with the world.
Amen.
Put a hoodie on and you sag and you know, I'm tough. You ain't tough.
Amen.
You ain't tough.
Amen.
Tough. David was tough. Paul was tough. Peter was tough. Samson was tough. Samson was tough. And Samson, see, when I read this about Samson, Samson called on the Lord. See, don't let your situation stop you from calling on the Lord.
Amen.
See, Samson had took his eyes off the Lord. And the world took Samson's eyes out. The Philistines plucked his eyes out. And Samson was just going around in circles. See, sometimes God will put you in that situation. Unfortunately, God will have to do that to some of us before we call out to the Lord.
Amen.
Got to break us all the way down.
Amen.
Don't have to, because y'all hearing the word of God now. But Samson broken, blinded, and here he is in Judges 16:28. See, there was two remember me's in the Bible. Okay? Samson said, remember me, just like the thief on the cross. And they both died within minutes of saying, remember me. Here's Judges 16:28. Samson's calling on the Lord, blinded in a bad way, really in prison. In a Philistine prison with his eyes plucked out. Listen to what Samson did. And Samson called on the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. Somebody said, I need some strength. I need some strength. If I'm going to do your work, Lord, I need some strength. Now, unfortunately, Samson found out that he needed that strength when he was held captive. He didn't have to be. So we know Samson, because Samson was lust driven. And lust got him in a bad situation. And we're going to get many of us been in bad situations because of lust. And he says, and strengthen me. I pray thee. Only this once. Oh God, that I may be avenged. Excuse me. That I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. We know the rest of that story. God heard him. And Samson's job was to destroy the Philistines. And he did. And God blessed him. Listen. Paul. Now y'all know it's hard for me to talk about prayer without injecting Paul somewhere in the text. Let me tell you something. Now this ain't for the tough guys. You know, you tough in here and you know, you doing your thing. But this is for the guys that depend on the Lord. That's true toughness.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Here's Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2. Paul suffered. because of what he believed. And if you tell me you're a Christian, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer on your job. You're going to suffer in the school. You're going to suffer in the home. You may suffer in church if you're in a godless church trying to be godly. Okay? But in 1 Thessalonians 2:2, Paul says, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Because folks don't want to hear this. Folks don't want to hear this. I say this to the ministers up here. Preach the word. Amen. Just preach the word. Don't worry about whether people want to hear it or not. They never want to hear it. Amen. Okay? Just preach the word. Why? For God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Amen. Still need strength? Pray for it. Paul needed strength. You know, you're in good company. If you think you can get up here and do anything for the Lord and not be intimidated. Because I know Minister Brian, he go out and ask folks to pray. And folks are like, nah, maybe next time. Pass on me this time. But when you get up here to pray, ask God to give me strength to pray. And pray from your heart. Everybody ought to be praying in here. There ought to be a person in here that can't stand up here and pray. That you're not praying at home.
Amen.
2 Timothy 4:17. I like this. Nobody stand by you, the Lord will. And it may come down to that too. See, some of y'all think, you know, you're always going to have all these friends. You ain't got a whole bunch of them. Paul says this, notwithstanding, 2 Timothy 4:17. The Lord stood with me. I like that. I done felt his presence. I didn't feel this presence. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me.
Amen.
Why? That by my preaching might be fully known that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the hand of the lion. How about this? How about your soul revival? Somebody may say, you know what? I've been going to church, been baptized, been saved. I know I'm saved. I love the Lord. Listen, maybe you need a soul revival. Maybe you need to ask God in your prayer, God, revive me.
Yes.
Quicken me. Shake me up. Stir me up. I'm not being used. I'm not doing nothing. I'm backsliding.
Come on now.
Excuse me. I'm just idle. Lord, shake me up. David had one of them. See, the word of God is full. You seek it, you can find it. I tell people I got all the answers. I might not have it when you ask me. You give me a couple hours, I'll find you the answer. I need my soul revived.
Amen.
Psalms 119, 154. This is what he says. David said, plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me. According to thy word. See, that's why it's so important that we preach the word. So somebody need to hear it.
Amen.
I don't know who all are here. I don't know what everybody's going through. But if you're going to be revived, it's not going to be because I'm sitting up here telling jokes and running around in circles.
Amen.
Or speaking to you in a language you don't understand.
Amen.
You need to hear the word.
Amen.
You need to hear it.
Psalm
119:156. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me. According to thy judgments. Psalms 119:159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. You in there somewhere. All of us have a great need. All of us who know the Lord have a great God. You in there. Right now I'm going through. Right now I'm struggling. I'm struggling at my job. I'm struggling in my marriage. I'm struggling in school. I'm struggling getting along with people. I'm struggling with my lust. I'm struggling with my anger. I'm struggling with my greed. I'm struggling with my selfishness. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Quicken me according to thy judgments. Quicken me according to thy loving kindness. It's all there. See, we're going through stuff we don't have to go through as children of God. We just going through some stuff. You got God as your father and you're going through all that. Listen, Lord, quicken me. Stir me up. Shake me up. Wake me up out of this mess I'm in. Wake me up out of this train wreck. Wake me up out of this nightmare that I'm living. I need some help. And it can't come from me because there ain't no good in me. It's got to come from an outside source. I know it can't come from whatever you see on TV. Wow. You know, God's been good to you. God was good to Paul. God was good to Paul. Little Justin, you said you was going to be quiet. He promised me that. He ain't making noise. He being quiet. No. Listen. Paul, God had been good to Paul. Y'all remember Paul was shipwrecked? Got off the ship. Came to an island probably on a piece of cardboard or something. Built a fire. Snake got on his hand. Shook it off in the fire. Everybody watched him. They said he ought to be dead. They said he must be a murderer. That's what the barbarians thought. And they served Paul. The Bible says in Acts 28, when I get to verse 7, it says this. In the same quarters were possessions of a chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. Now let me tell you something, folks. Some of us don't have much to offer. Okay? I we're not here sticking a plate in front of everybody's faces. I just don't even think that's biblical. They're poking a plate. This is God's church. He's going to take care of it. But the one thing you do have to give, you can pray for this church. You can pray for this church, and you can pray for the leadership of this church and the pastors of this church, and you just don't know how you may bless us. Amen. Let me tell you something. I had a rough week. I hope some folks was praying for me. I don't want to be like, I'm praying for you, pastor, really with this lion. You need to pray for your pastor. Amen. Pastor out there getting it. In a troubled world, pastors need prayer.
Amen.
Now, Paul didn't have much. He was a prisoner. He had nothing. He had nothing to give. But look what it said in verse number 8. I like this in Acts 28 and 8. And it said, it came to pass that the father of Publius laid sick of a fever and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed. How about that? He entered in and he prayed for this man and laid his hands on him and healed him. And healed him. Listen, how's your prayer life? Are you looking for people to touch? Are you looking for people to pray for? I mean, and it don't have to be long. It don't have to be long and drawn out. You may run into one of your buddies at the mall you ain't seen in 5 years, 10 years. I ain't seen you so long. How you been doing? They tell you, I've been going through. Are you willing right there in the middle of the mall to stop and say, let me just pray for you right now? And I don't mean you need to have everybody walking out of Macy's and everybody walking out of Chick-fil-A. And they praying out there. Somebody tearing it up. No. Y'all know how some of us is. We're going to shut them all down. Listen, sister, brother, I just want to pray for you in the name of our Lord and Savior. Tell him what he's done for you. Tell him what he's done for you. What he's done for you, he can do for me. Listen, it's a continuous exercise. It never stops. If you stop praying, if you stop looking for opportunities to pray, then you need to ask God again, quicken me. It don't stop. It never, ever stops. Now, some of our prayers will stop. We be honest with ourselves, we ain't prayed in months. I hope that's not true, but I know it is. Amen. Don't have a clue. Paul knew Timothy was struggling, like any minister, like any pastor, like any person who say they're a Christian, they're going through. Okay? Don't believe this hype that you become saved and you got it all together. No, you in a battle and you're going to struggle. Listen, Paul says this to 1 Timothy, 1 Thessalonians. He's praying for these folks that just received Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. He said, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. Why, Paul? That we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Folks struggling. 2 Timothy 1, Paul again talking to Timothy, knowing the magnitude of the job. Timothy had a huge job. Imagine following Paul around and going to take over the realms for Paul. Watching Paul get them stones and watching Paul being persecuted and attacked. And there's so much they took call to fast and say, we ain't gonna even eat nothing until Paul dead. Paul says to Timothy, he said, my dearly beloved son, 2 Timothy 1 and 3, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says. He said, I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers. When? Night and day. Night and day. Now y'all hang in here with me. I know this is a little laborious, but hang in there. Because see, we ought to be constantly praying that this church will grow. Not numerically. I could care less. Honestly. I really believe God asked for the church such as be saved. You can't go out and just have a growth project. You just want to get the church to grow. Amen. You know, we got a growth plan. I get all kinds of letters in the mail. How to make the church grow. Listen, let me tell you something. Okay, God asked for the church such as should be.
Amen.
Everybody here ought to be here.
That's right.
Okay? Amen. We're not going to sit here and lower the standards. Lower the standards. Lower the, everybody welcome. Everybody come on in.
Amen.
Watch this now. Amen. Here's Paul. Colossians. I love this. Colossians 1 and 9. Paul's praying for church growth. Church growth biblically. I heard Claire say it biblically. He said, For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Man. That you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Y'all getting this? You getting this sincerest prayer here. So when your next person come up and pray next week, we need to be praying that the people of God get some strength and some spiritual understanding. Look at verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. What a huge task. And what caused Paul to pray like that? God had did something for him. Verse 13. That's what Paul caused Paul to do. Now, if God ain't never done nothing for you, you ain't gonna never do nothing for God. If you sit here and say, you know what, God ain't never done nothing for me. First of all, you're a liar. But second of all, if you feel that way, then you ain't got nothing to say. You ain't got nothing to say to nobody. You're going to say, look at me. They ought to see God. But why did Paul feel this way? Watch verse 13. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember when darkness, the power that darkness had on us? That's right, we love the darkness. We love the darkness. We love, you know, the freaks come out at night, all that kind of stuff. The nighttime is the right time. It's just the truth. But God has delivered us from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. Y'all remember that thing had you? I actually don't look at Dave Dudley. I remember when that alcohol had him. Had him. And God delivered him. I just quit. No, God delivered him. God gave him the power to say, let it go. And I let it go. He had to go to AA. He ain't never been to AA. I'm an alcoholic. Listen, God gave him the power to do it. And that power is still... That power is still available.
Yes.
Talk to that man. Now you got new cars and wife and babies and furniture, shotguns and rifles. And the word. in the Word. Got a job and go to work too much, huh, Lord? Huh? Ain't gonna go there. Now, look at verse 14. I like this. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Y'all hear Caleb praying, talking about forgiveness of sins? Man, that gotta be in your prayer. Cause we sinners. We sin. We gonna sin before we leave out of this church today. And the Word of God says, if we what? Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us. Let me talk about this. Here's Paul. We look at our country. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Wow. I was supposed to put my hand here. Now, I understand that, and I pray that it be true. But you know what? Paul seen the same thing with Israel. Israel was God's chosen people. They were God's chosen people. No. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For who? For the Jew first. And now look at the condition of Israel. Look at the condition of Israel at Paul's time. And Paul, like us as preachers, as Christians, we ought to pray the same prayer. Here's Paul's prayer in Romans 10:1. Paul prayed for Israel's salvation. America needs salvation. Amen. See, we can march and we can march, and I see the politicians, they marching, and the sports figures, they tell us we gotta stop the murdering, stop the violence. Let me tell you something. You ain't stopping nothing. You ain't stopping nothing until this country get right with God. This America needs revival. You can talk all you want. These young boys, these thugs, unless they get saved, they're going to keep shooting people. Amen. Because, see, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said in John 10:10, I come to what? Give life, and to give life more abundantly until America receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Listen, we in trouble. We in trouble. See? And I say to my boys, you count off 16 young brothers. Count them off. You see 16 young brothers somewhere, one of them going to get murdered before they're 20 years old. You take 350 white kids, white boys, and one of them will get murdered before they're 20. Why? Because, see, we don't know God. Amen. We want to entertain folks in church. We want to run around. These young boys need to hear the Word. Amen. They need to hear the Word, because that murdering ain't going to stop. Amen. Listen, Paul. Paul's prayer, my prayer. Minister Brian's prayer. Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Be saved. That brother got killed down in New Orleans. Will Smith. His funeral wasn't even in the church. It was in a music center. Imagine that. Imagine the opportunity. Thousands and thousands of people could have came and glorified God. And he heard a word from God. Well, I'm going to go there. Let me close. Oh, I don't know where to close. Let me close. About your prayers. Point them at something. Okay, you know, we just sit here and pray. I pray for America. I pray for the flag. I pray for whatever. No, get pointed with that thing. Look at something and put it under your scope and pray for that thing. Watch Paul. Paul in Ephesians 1. I'm going to close with this. Maybe not, but I think I am. Paul in Ephesians 1 and 16. Remember this. I think the prayer is going to be better in this church in the next couple months. Paul says this. He says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now watch what he does. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and in knowledge of him. Now watch this. You know somebody? Put their name here. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory and of his inheritance in the saints. Paul was directing this prayer at the church. He wanted his church, he wanted the people that was under his voice to have an understanding of the things of God. That's so important. That's why we spend so much time teaching. And I know we can be here a long time. People say, oh, you know, I can't go to Bible study because Pastor Neil preached too long. He stayed there, yeah, 8:15. Steve Harvey had you there at 8:15. Oh, whatever. Whatever y'all watching. Most TV shows are an hour. And go to movies, it's what, about an hour and 30 minutes? Time you watch all the stuff that come on you at the movie theater. And watch this. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? There's a power that comes with this. And I think what we have in our day is a powerless Christian. No power. Being defeated, being beat down, being worn out in our self, our own spirit, our own soul is defeating us because we're not tapped in. And that's what Paul was looking for his church. He wanted his church to be tapped in because he knew the battle they were going to face. Folks, you're going to leave here today and you're going to face some stuff. Some of you going through right now, my heart go out to you. I talk to you. I hear. I know what's going on. Some of you going through. Get that power. Get that power. Get that power. Let's close. I got so much. I got more. I feel like I know when to stop. Y'all might not think I do. I do. I do. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the power of God. We thank you for this church. We thank you for all that's going on today. We thank you for the songs, and we thank you especially for the prayer of our young people. We thank you for their willingness to want to even be a part of what we do, Father God. And we just pray when they have their church council meeting that the youth would get involved and they would become a viable members of this church. Father, we pray right now for those who here are not feeling well, who may feel